It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're going to be in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I would like for you, if you would like to write to me. Let me know that you're saved, that you're growing in the Word of God. I just love to hear things as the Word of God, as the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit teaches us each and every day. And so please, you could write to us, Parkview Bible Church. The street address is 18th and Church Street, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and I would like to have you add the box number, please, box 43, if you would. Now, we're going to the Word of God to read John chapter 6, the first 14 verses. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny loaf of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that men sat down in the number of about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, so much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that were eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you that we can come and study your precious word once again. I praise you for this opportunity, and please that your power and your word will go forth, that folks will be saved today, that they'll hear the true word, that they'll hear the gospel so clearly that their heart will be touched and they will turn to you. And Father, those that are already saved, that have already come by faith to you, please draw them to your truth, that they be not deceived, be not tricked by the tricks of the devil and of the world today, that they may see through that by your Spirit and by your strength, and they can walk each day teaching and learning and then beginning to teach others the truth as well. Father, help us to grow in you today, and we ask for your power and strength as we have this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to come into the Word of God. I would like to take just a few minutes. We have read the 6th chapter, but I would like to take just a few minutes to go back to a word that we really didn't spend a lot of time on in John chapter 6. We've looked at the delusion and how that many people, or chapter 5, I'm sorry, many people will be fooled and deceived by Satan, because there is going to be a deception there. There is today, and it's becoming stronger and stronger each day. And as you know, if you've been with us, why, we've read through 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We've been in Isaiah. We've been in two different places in Revelation, Revelation 13 and Revelation 19. And as we looked through those verses of Scripture, then we finished very quickly, and we really didn't have adequate time the last time we were together. We read through Matthew chapter 24 concerning some things that was to come. And in looking at the rapture of the church, the tribulation period, and then the battle of Armageddon, and that's what we've kind of put all together through these verses of Scripture. We have looked now at the great white throne judgment. We've looked at the judgment seat of Christ. We have looked at when the church is going to leave at the rapture. We've looked at so many things. The resurrection of the dead, those that died without the Lord Jesus, and the resurrection of the living, those that whether they have died or be alive as far as bodily, they're still alive in Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at many things with this fifth chapter. But as we come to a close here, and begin with the sixth chapter, I'd like to take just a minute and look at one word, or it's in several places here, and that's the word honor. You know, today that's something that people seem to care very little for. They would like to have the honor of men. And as I looked up, there are two different definitions here. One concerning the relationship man to man in the honor that's there. And we do desire to have the praise of men. Another word for this word honor is praise. We desire to have them lift us up. There is dignity involved in it. We really want to be somebody, and so we honor each other. I'll honor you, you honor me, and then we'll all feel better, and that's what the world has to offer. And it even brings in the look of worship. We desire that man would worship us. Oh, that's a desire of the heart. Well, that's a desire of the heart of Satan. But when you look at the other verses of Scripture here, and I'll read just very quickly here. It begins in verse 41, I received not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? That's the way the Lord Jesus spoke to these people. How can that matter to you? And seek not the honor that comes from God. You desire not to have the honor of God. We should value. It should be of the greatest importance that we honor God. Now, many times, with the stand that we take over the Word of God, man does not like us. They don't like what we say many times. I wish every person that listened to this program enjoyed what they were hearing. But many times people don't. And I do hear about it. And that's just fine. But my friend, I don't desire the honor from man. I want the honor from God. And I value God's honor. Please that we will look and honor God only, and not worry so much about honoring man and pleasing man and lifting man up and praising man and worshiping man. Let's worship God. Let's honor Him. Let's praise Him. And we're going to do that, my friend, by staying in His Word, and only by staying in the truth and not veering from it. So, my friend, I'm going to ask you to know it, and I'm asking you to study it. Honor. Whose honor are you trying to receive? Some other person's? Or would you like to place there and put your heart right that you desire to honor God? The only way you can do that is to do it by truth, by His Word, His way. That's it. And of course, we know you must come to the Lord Jesus and be saved first of all. So please come by faith to Jesus, meet him at the cross of Calvary, that you don't have to go through the judgment that is just for the unsaved, for those that have ignored God. That you won't have to stay in the grave for that extra 7 years plus 1,000 until the end of the millennium. And that's what happens to the lost. But worse than all that is that you will eternally be separated from God and His love. Come to Jesus today and listen to that call. Honor. Verse 1 of chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Day after day, several times each day, Jesus would perform miracles. And he did that, and he healed the sick. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He did that. He raised the dead. He did all this. That people would know without a question that he's God. No other man can do it. The devil can cover it, and that's what goes on today with some of our healing services and things like that. The devil puts on a good show, but Jesus is the only one that's whole, that can do it completely and permanently and perfectly. And he can make my heart and soul whole too. Many followed him because of the miracles he did. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, kind of climbed the hill a little bit. John gives us the date. The time was a Passover. It's been said that we're just 1 year away from the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. If you know your Old Testament, you'll understand the different feasts that took place, and it's so important that we see and know of those feasts, because it gives us a beautiful picture of the calendar of events. It's what's going to take place in the life of the Lord Jesus and in our life as well, whether it be the resurrection or the rapture or the millennium. It's a beautiful picture, and we'll find that back as you look through the feasts that the Jews celebrated. And, of course, the Passover is when the sacrificial lamb was always offered. And as the sacrifice was offered, so Jesus died on the Passover, because he is our perfect lamb, the sacrificial lamb that took our place. I hope you've trusted in him. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company coming to him. And he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip was concerned. He said to Philip, and so Philip kind of got into the conversation, didn't he? Jesus was concerned. Jesus had compassion on these folks. They were out away from anywhere. There was no restaurants to go eat, and they probably, as they had traveled, why they didn't even have much money or provisions to go buy anything, even if it had been around. But the Lord Jesus was not going to allow them to go hungry. Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come to him. He said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him in verse 6, "For he himself knew what he would do." Philip answered and said, "Well, I have 200 penny loaf of bread. It is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little, take just a morsel, take just a little bit. That's not enough." This is such a beautiful picture of the love of the Lord Jesus, of him performing a great miracle, plus seeing and meeting the needs that we have. Now, the difference is many times the needs and the wants. But he sees the need here, and there is a great need, because they have been following and they're hungry. But what Philip found was only just enough that each would have, not even have, a little. And another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" So now we have the 200 penny loaf, and we have the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. That's what we have. We have Philip and we have Andrew involved in the searching. They have found this much, but among so many, as Philip said, it's not going to amount to much or not even be enough to go around for everyone just to have one little morsel, just one little bit. I started to say a minute ago that this is listed in all four Gospels, this beautiful picture. One of the few that each one saw fit by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to record the feeding of these folks. This multitude, as the Word has spoken it. So far we have what a person would carry as his lunch and 200 penny loaf of bread is what Philip found in verse 7. Jesus said to them, "Make the men sit down." And there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down, and the number was about 5,000. So we not only this time have the number now, instead of just being a multitude of people, a great multitude, as verse 2 says, but we have listed 5,000 men, and I don't believe that's including the children and the women. And so we could have anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20,000 people. We know there was 5,000 men. 5,000 men and enough for one little boy's lunch. Jesus does everything, and he'll do this in the church service. He'll do this in your life. He does everything very orderly. He doesn't do things that bring confusion. The Holy Spirit does not bring us to a point in time in a service that brings things that are not very clear, very well taught, and it brings a peace and a joy and a calmness that nothing else can bring. Now that can be over your life always. Many churches do not promote that. They promote hype. They promote activity. If you really know Jesus, and if you're really walking close to the Lord Jesus, you'll find, as he does right here, very quietly, very much organized, he told them to all sit down, and they all sat down. Jesus is going to show them something. Well, if we'd sit down sometimes, close our mouth, shut the television off, shut the radio off. Are you one of those folks that always have the television on? Always have the radio on? You always have to? Are you afraid of the quiet? Say, "I just don't like it. I like the noise." That's the problem. That's the problem. Will you sit down? You know, I watch people today that walk. See them go by and they have earphones in their head. They got a Walkman strapped to the side of them. You know why? They can't even enjoy the surroundings as they're walking. Just to look, to listen to the birds and to the things that are around. They got to be listening to something all the time. Well, you know, as long as they're listening to something, they probably will never hear from the Lord. Say, "Well, I listen to Christian music when I do that." Oh, shut it off just long enough to listen. The Lord Jesus had them sit down. He doesn't say anything about telling them to be quiet, does he? But he did have them sit down. And so I'm going to ask you just to sit down. And let's watch and see what the Lord Jesus does.
Jesus said to them, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. Verse 10. Verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise the fish, as much as they would. Here's a lad's lunch. The Lord Jesus, very quietly, I'm sure, told them to make everyone sit down. The disciples followed his orders. He took the loaves and he gave thanks. He took that little boy's lunch and he thanked his Father for that food. Now, in our eyes, it doesn't seem like it would be much to be thankful for, having over 5,000. We know there's 5,000 men. We don't know if it was 10,000 or 15,000 or 20,000. A great multitude, it records, and it tells us how many men. And we're going to take a person's lunch and feed them. I know when we have family get-togethers, when we have an activity here at the church and we have supper, there's always enough. There's more than enough. But we sure start out with more than one person's lunch. And I'm sorry, we don't feed 5,000 plus the women and children either. We don't have that responsibility. And yet the Lord Jesus took something so small, and yet he still gave thanks. Are we willing to give thanks over sometimes what we think are small things and things that are not adequate and things that aren't right, things that just aren't enough for us, and we always want more, and so we have trouble praising God, thanking God for what we have. Oh, that we would take time, not only every time that we sit down before the food that God has given us, we should always, whether it be breakfast or lunch or dinner, or breakfast or dinner or supper, whichever way you want to call it, the only one that stayed the same was the breakfast when I moved from the country to town. Each time. That we take time to praise our God for the food he has given us, the nourishment that he has given us, however small it might be. I don't know your situation. Maybe you don't have very much food. Do you take time to praise him for it? If you have much food, do you praise God for the bountiful blessings that you have? Do you recognize who has given you this food and everything else? We should thank him many times through the day. We should begin by thanking him very, very first thing in the morning. And then we should bring honor and praise to him all day long. And we should desire to do that. And we should do it. But not only that, as we sit down then to eat, that as we sit down to eat, that we can enjoy that time. That we can sit down and have this wonderful opportunity to praise him and to thank him for what we have. Jesus, the Son of God, gave thanks. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it. You know, when we begin to thank God, praise God, honor God, worship God. The only way we can do that, of course, is come to Him by faith and be saved first of all, because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary that we may live. But if we will learn to do that, He can take, He has done it in my life and in my family's life so many times, taken so little and made it go so far. We learn that the only way we can have what we need is to step on whoever we have to or cheat whoever we need to in order to gain, to get what we need. If we have to sue somebody, we have to sue them. Take them to court. That's the way you get even. My friend, what we need to do is come before the Lord Jesus. Walk with Him. Praise Him. Honor Him. Worship Him. And we can do that through the very normal things of the day. And one thing that we do, and we do it often, and that is eat. Do you bow your head and praise Him for what you have when you sit at the table? Well, I do at home, but we go to a restaurant, we don't. Or do we do it in the restaurant so everybody can see us, but we don't at home? I do when others are around, but when I'm by myself, I don't. Jesus gave thanks. And He distributed it to His disciples to them that were sat down. Likewise, of the fishes, as much as they would. He thanked them for the loaves. He thanked the God of the heavens that made it for the fish. And yet He's the Creator, the Lord Jesus. Thank You. Oh, that our heart would be so. You could ask, if you don't believe the Word of God, if you haven't come to the Lord Jesus, you could say to yourself, what's it going to matter? It's not going to go very far anyway. When they were filled, who? The disciples? That one young man? The Lord Jesus Himself? No, the multitude, the great multitude, the 5,000 men plus. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Jesus isn't wasteful either. Oh, that we would trust in Him for our every need. Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves and remained that which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. How can this be? It seems impossible. Then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world. We're going to look next time we come together. Genesis, Deuteronomy, Isaiah. We're going to look at some of those promises that was lifted up there. Are you going to continue to fight the way the world fights and sue whoever you have to do to, take them to court, try to figure out how you're going to get the money out of them? Are you going to trust in Jesus? Are you going to realize that this world, He can do anything He wants to do to take care of His own? And if you'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you are His. So you please trust in Him and walk after Him. Have you ever seen in your life that God has produced a miracle like that? He's taken something of so little and just made it last, worked it out. Whether it be for food or financially or something like that. It's such a joy to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus. You've got to know Him first. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?